Prepare today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, lots of messages coming in to us then. Let's try and catch up on as many of them as we can. Audrey from Selbridge says, staff have always been welcome to come and work at Castletown. The staff are essential. Their private vehicles are not. Amanda O'Leary says, as a member of this community, I'd like to say, how could the OPW have not risk assessed the loss of the only vehicular access to the historic Castletown house and domain at the N4? Time to stop messing around and get negotiations back on the table and open up a heritage site that in 2022 had over 1 million visitors and less focus on what is essentially an employer versus employee issue. And Amanda says that the workers have been offered several options, but for every solution there is a problem. It's not just the safety and welfare of the workers, there is also that of a community as well. Another one says, my husband had to reach out to mental health service this winter as a direct link of not being able to walk in Castletown in the morning before work. Not all disabilities are visible, says this listener. Another one says, SIP2 need to start talking to the private landowner. Everybody is working tirelessly at an impasse. The owner's recent planning application was rejected by the council and points out that the car park should be ancillary for access to Castletown house. Another one says that the community are not protesting. There are only 40 or so of them and they are blockading the gate. If the entire community were behind them, we would all be there. Save Castletown ignored the results of their own survey, says this listener, where the majority voted in favour of staff access by the avenue. Well, again, the point that some of the people are making in Castletown is that staff can access their place of work. They just can't drive up Lime Avenue because the Castletown Committee and the gate protectors are saying that it would be unsafe to drive up Lime Avenue, but the workers can walk up or cycle up Lime Avenue. But again, the point that SIP2 is making is that not all of the workers can walk or cycle. Another one here says, thank you for giving Castletown a spot this morning. And it says that SIP2 need to come back to the table to move forward. We want the staff back to work, but we can't have more vehicles on the avenue. It's a pedestrian avenue only, as stated by the OPW. Another one says, can you understand why staff feel devalued? There has been a consistent indifference to this issue. The Save Castletown Committee and other groups cannot and have not controlled the behaviour at the gate. It's shocking that they disassociate themselves from the dreadful behaviours, you say, that's directed at staff. This is to peddle the idea that staff should walk past the same group. And you say that there were such incidents of abuse being levelled at workers. Thomas Quinn in Selbridge says the OPW needs to sort out this mess. The OPW business case of 2022 predicted this loss of M4 access would cause chaos. The community and staff all feel hurt. Negotiate the M4 access now. There's more coming in, but there's other issues that I want to touch on here as well. We want to wish Jim Howe of Ballysacks a very happy 93rd birthday. Happy birthday to you, Jim. That comes in from all your family and friends. Mary texts in to say she agrees with Ray Cronin. The government don't care about the people. They have gone past their sell-by date. Time to move on to pastures new, says Mary. Another Mary has texted in. Mary Donnelly says, will you wish our nephew Tony Dempsey and our brother Andy Dempsey a very happy birthday? Tony is today and Andy's is tomorrow. From Mary, Rosaline and Alice, happy birthday to you. And finally for the moment, Dervla Hines has been in touch. You might remember Dervla was on the programme a couple of weeks ago. She had undergone a mastectomy and she recovered now to lead a 5 kilometre charity run, which is taking place tomorrow at Nace Racecourse at 9:30, raising funds for the ARC Cancer Society and Centre, which helped her in her recovery from breast cancer. 9:30 tomorrow, park run at Naas Racecourse. Best of luck to Dervla Hines and all of those taking part. Well, I'm joined in studio by Margaret Brereton and also Dervla McKee, two directors of the Little Way Cancer Support Group based out in Clane. Delighted to have you in studio and thanks for coming in to us. And we're going to speak a bit about the work that you do out at Little Way, and I suppose that's probably the best way to start then. Tell us when you were founded and a little bit about yourselves.
Thanks, Owen, for having us here today. And we were founded back in 2003 by my mother, Evelyn McKee, who found that there was a need for providing a level of support for people who had been diagnosed by cancer, and that support wasn't there. So it was her passion, and along with six other women, they came together and they formed the Little Way Cancer Support Centre, and Margaret was one of those women there and is still with us. Mammy passed away 3 years ago, but she left a great legacy behind her, and she left great women like Margaret contributing to the centre, and is very much an important part of what we do here
today. Yeah, because, like, I mean, 2003, you're talking 21 years ago, and I'm sure they would have flown by, and you've helped so many people down through those years. Margaret, tell us a bit about then kind of what you do and your role.
Well, I met Evelyn at a fundraising event at the Acadian Hotel back in 2003, and I used to do a lot of fundraising for the late Matt Brown and for the Wheelchair Association and Rehab. And I got chatting to Evelyn and her good friend Nora McDermott. And Evelyn said she was planning to open a drop-in support centre for cancer patients and their families in the Clane area to help them with counselling, therapies, emotional support. And so I said to her, look, you know, I'll help out as best I can. So the first fundraising event we started was an event in the Kildare Heat of the Rose of Tralee, and Vicky Barry from Newbridge won on the night and represented Kildare and the Little Way at the Rose Festival. Vicky runs her own dancing academy. And then it went on from there. We organised the Kildare Heat for the Mary from Dunloe Festival in Donegal. We've organised fashion shows, walks, raffles, card games, you know, and loads of people thankfully organise, you know, fundraising events for us, you know, for the Little Way, you know.
There's lots going on. Yeah. And Dervil, I think when we talk to groups like yourselves, the medical needs of those who are going through cancer are being met really at hospitals, and they're being dealt with by GPs. But what you do is deal with the emotional side of things and the therapeutic supports, maybe, where they don't have access to those within the hospital setting.
Absolutely. Our role is to support the person and not the cancer through their journey. And we do that by providing the one-to-one counselling, the holistic therapy supports, the support groups. We then also do the education and wellbeing workshops. We're also on the... we're an ambassador for the 5K Your Way at the last park run in Naas Racecourse of every month, so we do. And we do little, it's those little bits and pieces that really help people along their journey. We're there to give them, bring the resilience and build the resilience along the way, give them hope, and to give them that listening ear that they can come into an environment in a safe and a confidential environment for themselves, that they can offload what their journey is about, because each person's journey is very, very different. And they learn from each other, and we do find we've just started up our support groups again in Naas, and this is the first time we've done an outreach support group. And that's going very well out there. And people learn from each other, and they can share their experiences, because it's a very emotional time. It's a very difficult journey for people, and they've loads of questions. And they, you know, that's our role there. It is to provide those answers and give them that sort of resilience and compassion and hope that their journey, they're not alone on their journey.
Yeah.
And they have that network there.
And I know you operate a very strict rule of confidentiality as well, which as observed by all the volunteers and the visitors, which is important. And I was reading at some of the therapies that people can do: reflexology, oncology massage, Indian head massage, Reiki, and other counselling supports as well, which can help along the cancer journey. In terms of funding then, How are you funded, or do you rely on donations, or because this is free of charge for those who get those services?
Absolutely. Like, we've been very lucky, and as Margaret has said, you know, fundraising is a core part of what we do here in the organisation. We're not funded by the government. We get some level of funding and we get some level of grants, but it's not enough to run the service and to provide the level of service. So the primary funding comes from the generosity of the people of Kildare, the community that organise events. We organise events as well, but we rely on the funding mechanism from people to organise events and to help to offer that support to others going through their journey. And I suppose, like, very few of us have not been affected by it. So we all understand the emotional impact it can have on the families and has on individuals along their way. And I think that's why people want to give back so much to it, because it doesn't just impact one person. It impacts everybody, and it impacts the family, it impacts the spouse, it impacts the parents, siblings, you know, the wide network family. So it's a very important piece for us to be able to offer that to everybody that's involved, and the caregivers are very much, you know, part of what they're of supporting that person. And if they're not looked after, then how can they look after the person that's going through their cancer journey? So the funding is a core part, and it's something that we would like to probably, you know, call out for in terms of, from the government point of view, that, you know, support centres like ourselves need this permanent funding. We need to have a source of income that allows us to provide the core services, which is the counselling and holistic therapies to the clients.
And Margaret, the people, the general community have a great affiliation with the Little Way, and they support very kindly with some of those events that you've mentioned there, but people are quite good with donations.
Absolutely, yes. And people, only for the people of the community and, you know, and the other areas that have run things for us, and various maybe golf tournaments, or, you know, they walk, they do, you know, cycle runs, all those, you know, and give it a little way. And so we're very lucky, because the only for the generosity and the trust, you know what I mean, of the people in the community. And we ran a big fashion show last year in Barberstown, and we hope to run that again this year. But I just wanted to go back to one thing, that when Evelyn, the first house that we got in Clayton was rented, we had to pay €10,000 rent a year.
Wow.
And then we had to find the cost of the counselling, treatments, insurance and the general running of the house. So we had to fundraise all that money, you know what I mean, to pay for that. And then we had a lot of politicians, you know, came to the house, ministers, and, you know, praised us for the great service we were providing, and promised us, of course, you know, that they'd look for funding, but it never came. And we had one senior politician told us that we needed to own our own centre. Yeah, and that would make a huge difference. That's the only way we might get funding. But anyway, of course, it still didn't come. And then we actually went out then, and we Evelyn saved money, and we had 300,000 in our account, and we found a suitable building in Clayton, in the village centre where we are now, and we bought it and renovated. And we had a lovely architect on board. He'd done everything free of charge. He wouldn't take a penny. People like that, you know what I mean, who have helped us along the way. People who we never met before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And only for those people. So that's how we're, you know.
I'm sure that was a huge moment, Derval, for your mum and for the rest of the team at Little Way, to own your own facility and say, this is ours.
It was a vision. It was a vision from day one to have a permanent place for the people of Kildare, so that they could access and not having to travel up to Dublin, because very often, you know, the travel is it incurs costs for people, because you've got to pay for parking, etc. like that. We have parking there as well, so people don't have to worry about that. And it's the centre of Kildare. Clane is very much in the middle of Kildare, so it can serve both north and south. And so we have clients coming from Maynooth, Selbridge, Newbridge, Kilcullen, Kill, all over Kildare, coming to us and accessing the services. And that's what it is about. It's making sure that people can access the services and being accessibility and for themselves, but to actually give them that opportunity to access the service without having any further burden being put on them. And that's why, because of all the fundraising that we've been doing over the years, we're in a position that we can continue on providing those services free of charge.
Another question that I'd have, and again, the work that you do is fantastic, but do you feel as though you could do more if he had the funding?
Oh,
do you know, are you sitting there thinking, we have this idea, that idea, we could offer this, we could offer that, but we just don't have the ability at the minute?
Absolutely. Like, there's so much that people can avail of. Like, when you're going through your cancer journey, it's not just, you know, the counselling. It's your whole well-being that needs to be looked after. And that's something that's not looked after, per se, in the hospital, because they're dealing with the care, the medical care side of it. But there's a whole psychological and the whole, your whole well-being. And that encompasses your self-care and how important that is on your journey. Because, you know, we've one of our volunteers who is very much emphatic about the self-care approach to their own cancer journey, and has done wonderful work for herself on herself and helping her in her cancer journey. Mm. So it's a very important part of it. And there's so much more that we can roll out with it if the funding was there for it. And we do educational workshops, and we do those when we get additional funding. Like last year we had, we worked with the Irish Hospice Foundation, and they delivered the Advanced Care Planning Programme, because we had a requirement from some of the clients to talk about that. And that's going to become one of our core programmes now in the centre, because that's something that people need to understand about. What does that mean for me? Because they hear the C word and they instantly think, oh, this is not good news. And managing their journey, it's a life changing aspect for them, that they feel they change things in their lives as they're going through their cancer journey. And it's a very thought provoking journey for them.
And Margaret, I'm sure you're still looking for people to, if they can donate, of course, but if anybody has an idea for an event or something like that, how could they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Through the little way, and we have our own website, you know, and we have little brochures out, you know what I mean, that we leave around. And I'm sure a lot of people who know me, you know what I mean, they get in touch with me personally.
They can stop you in the street and say it to you.
Stop me in the street, yeah. Out the shop. You know, I'll take time to listen.
Very good, very good. But yeah, I mean, that's a way then that people can get in touch, and maybe if they want to reach out and actually avail of your service as well, how do you do that?
Absolutely. They can contact us on either by email, clane@little-way.org, or on phone, which is 045-902-996. Now, we also, and if we may, have a call out for runners to participate in the VHI Mini Women's Mini Marathon in June. So we're looking to have 20, if we can get 20 participants participating in it, that would, and if each participant raised €500, that would raise 10,000 for the centre. And all those monies go directly back into the service, because we're not paid in terms of the work we do. The funds are go back in to actually pay for the services that we offer and to enhance the services as well. So, if anybody wishes to, if anybody is considering doing the VHI Women's Mini Marathon, please consider us as an option run for us.
All right. Listen, I'm going to just give out the contact details for yourselves as well. Website is www.little-way.org. You can also email clane@little-way.org. You're on Facebook, Instagram, and then people can phone the centre on 045-902-996, and you're based at Unit 2 and 3 at the Village Centre in Clane. Listen, keep up the great work. It's great having you in studio today to highlight the work that you do at Little Way Cancer Support Group. That's Margaret Brereton and Dervil McKee, the two of the directors at the Little Way Cancer Support Centre. Great to have you in studio.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare KFM.
Okay, there's a message in from a listener saying, good morning. Anybody know why the price of potatoes have gone very expensive? Well, we've heard quite a lot in the news so far this year about farmers struggling because of the lack of rain, and they don't have as good a crop this year, so maybe they've had to put the price up of the potatoes to make the money. Another listener says, the Crookstown Inn does a beautiful breakfast. That comes in from Teresa in Kilcullen. Thanks for that, Teresa. And there was another message in here to say, I'm with you, Owen, can't beat a fry on a Saturday morning. And we were talking about the fry a little bit earlier on, where I don't want to tar all the cafes with the one brush, because I do love going out for breakfast and a bit of brunch, but I find it hard now to find a good fry, just your typical trucker's fry, as they call it, you know, where you go in now and you read the menu and you haven't a clue what is on the menu or what half of it says. Vera Louise Behan is on the line. Vera Louise, good to talk to you. What about down in Castledermot at Thigh? Do you have good fries down there still?
Oh, we do. We call them a heart attack on a plate, Owen.
Well, that's one thing to call them, yeah.
We do. We've lovely full Irish breakfast in a few different places.
Right. You know. Well, I'll have to make a trip down there anyway. Maybe you I'm will. Just not going to the right spots. Come here. You wanted the upgrade works to the Crookstown Road Junction to include the addition of street lights and road markings, particularly on the way to Kilcullen.
Yes. So this road is the Castledermot to Kilcullen Road. And everybody who drives it will know that the Crookstown petrol station is lit, as in it has road lights. The Crookstown Inn and Moon Junction, they're all lit. But the motorway junction for the R448 and R747 is not lit. The Ballator Junction is not lit. And the Baltinglass Junction is not lit. So if you're driving along either from Castledermot or from Kilcullen, coming from either side, and you see junctions are lit, you know there's junctions there. But if you don't see a junction lit, you're going to assume there's no junction there. And you're not going to prepare for a junction. Now, there has been numerous accidents along there, either coming out from Athy to come up to that junction, or coming from Kilcullen or from Castledermot. So, look, the road safety audit has begun. So, you know, that's a good place to start. But I did notice last week, actually, on Prime Time, they featured an article whereby crash reports and incidents that the Gardaí would have information on cannot actually be shared with the engineers in the county council. So anecdotally, the general public will know that there's lots of accidents in a certain place, but to actually have the specific data the county council would need, there's a GDPR issue that they can't have access to it. So I asked if the council, if there was a way around that, if they could speed up that process, because you know, we all know what's happening there. We all know it's dangerous. We all know you have to drive so carefully along there because there are accidents continuously. Safety audit has started.
Yeah, what about out in the Ballyroe, Grange Navan area? Is that another road that needs to be upgraded?
Very much so. Now, the Ballyroe Rosetown Road is being upgraded. That's L8076. And that is being worked on at the moment. I want to thank the Roads Department for the work they are doing on it. So the other roads off Ballyroe Cross are to be resurfaced in 2025. But again, you've got narrow roads there and lots of traffic, agricultural traffic, football traffic, school traffic. It's those roads there were next on the list, I suppose. The county engineer, the previous area engineer, Dave Flaherty, had worked in from the Carlow border right into the county. So this is the next road. The next road that was on that list. But, you know, there are some serious pinch points along there, and it's wonderful to see the work starting and to know that it'll be continuing on into 2025, along by Grange Football Grounds as well, and all that area. So it's really important because it's a very busy spot.
Mm. What about Castledermot Park?
Well, Castledermot Park finally has a contractor lined up, David Wald Civil Engineering. They're a local company, and they've undertaken to carry out the repair to the damaged playground. And it just shows the level of volunteerism and support in Castledermot. They've provided the labour free of charge. So it's incredible. I know these things take time. I know a lot of people in the area are looking at this damage for a long time. But a proper procurement process has to be followed, and it has been, and that's why these things take time. But it should be up and running by May, so that that's a very welcome thing for the kids and the families in Castle Dermot and all around who come to that playground. It's a very popular playground.
Yeah.
So it's very welcome to hear that.
And just while we're in Castle Dermot, Trish Proctor has texted in to say, can you wish Castle Villa Football Club in Castle Dermot the best of luck tonight in their Oscar night in the Dolman Hotel? Everyone has worked so hard to make this a success and planning for future generations of our town. Good luck to them all. Tickets still available. Thanks to Owen and KFM for your continued support. So best of luck to all at Castle Villa AFC there down at the Dolman Hotel in Carlow.
Wonderful night ahead.
Absolutely. Finally then, Vera Louise, you were looking for the council to write to the HSE requesting they extend their Dispose of Unused Medicines Properly campaign to the Athy Municipal District.
Yes. Now, if you're not aware of this campaign, I'll just outline a little bit of it. It's the DUMP, so it's Disposal of Medicines Properly campaign. And it was a national programme, and then it was reduced to the Dublin area and put away altogether. But it's very much so needed. There was a survey, we conducted a survey of pharmacies in Athy, and most accept waste back from their own customers. So these are medicines that you haven't used, or, you know, a lot of people use injections to administer medication. So, you know, sharps and non-sharps. Traditionally, the actual health centre on Woodstock Street in Athy used to have a facility for the disposal of sharps and unused medicine, but that facility was not transferred up to the primary care centre, the new building. So there actually is nowhere to do this in Athy. Now, nurses, community nurses who go out to clients and patients, any injections they use, they bring them away with them. But there's no public access for people to dispose of medicines or sharps in Athy. So, like, if sharps are disposed of improperly, they can, you know, they're dangerous. And if medicines are disposed of incorrectly, they can be toxic. So this Disposal of Medicines Properly campaign is a free service that was rolled out to pharmacies in Cork and Kerry for the disposal of unused and out-of-date or prescription over-the-counter medicines. So it was organised by Cork and Kerry Healthcare with local pharmacies. And it ran from the 4th of September to the 15th of October, and they got in tons, like they got in tons of disused medicine.
Hmm.
So it's, you know, look, during that time, the public were invited to bring them into the local facility to get disposed of properly. So we have a civic community centre in Athy. All we need is a bit of will from the council and a bit of forward thinking and maybe a bit of research, you know, contact Cork and Kerry County Council and see how they got on with it. Because, you know, if these medicines are disposed of improperly, they cause environmental damage and they need to be disposed of properly because,
all right,
you know, there's quite a lot of people who are on long-term medication and who literally have stockpiles of medication in their homes that they need to be able to get rid of properly.
Fianna Fáil councillor on the Athy Municipal District, Vera Louise Behan Cahirlock as well of the MD. Thanks for joining us, Vera Louise, and good morning. We'll catch up on a few more messages in a moment, but I want to go to Evan Arkwright, who's racing and sponsorship manager out at the Curra Racecourse. Evan, good morning. Another busy weekend. Lots to look forward to. KFM excited to be broadcasting live from the Curra on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, good morning, good morning to all your listeners. Yeah, we have a busy weekend ahead of us. We actually have racing on Saturday and Sunday. The Saturday meeting was unexpected. We obviously, a couple of weeks ago, had to cancel our race meeting because of the very inclement weather and the very strong winds that day. So thankfully, we've got a meeting back and we race on Saturday with seven races and the Tote.ie alleged stakes being the feature race. But Sunday is a really exciting day locally, Owen. It's the annual Newbridge Parishes race day. It's raised over €600,000 for worthy causes in the parish. And there's lots going on. Apart from some really exciting racing, there's lots going on. And we've got lots of community groups, kids coming up, performing on Sunday. And that should be a really good day out for all the family, and thankfully that the forecast seems really good for both days.
I was going to say, yeah, it looks as though it's not going to be raining, but with how the weather has been the last few weeks, it could be raining one minute and then a glorious sunshine the next. We'll have to wait and see. The thing is about this, when you buy a ticket for racing on Sunday, Evan, a certain amount of money goes back into the community, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Quite a lot. There's quite a lot of fundraising going on the Sunday. And as I said, you know, over 600,000 has been raised over the years from this day. But, you know, for us, it's great. It's a way of engaging with the local community. It's a great. We invite a lot of the kids up from sports clubs, local dance groups who all perform on the day. We have some of the kids from sports clubs having exhibition games between races on the track. There's lots of music. There's free entertainment for kids. There's lots of exciting things going on, as you said, it's giving something back to the community, which is really, really important.
So where do you get tickets? Can you buy them at the gate? Can you get them online? Or I think I saw somewhere at the Newbridge Parish Centre is selling tickets as well.
Yeah, they're also, and there's a raffle that they're selling for as well. They're with some great prizes. They're going to be selling tickets through the Parish Centre and also here on the race day on Sunday as well. So tickets are available on curra.ie. So you can get a discount if you buy online. Otherwise, just turn up here on the day. And under 18s, for every race meeting, Owen, under 18s are free. And obviously, there's the shuttle buses, free shuttle bus coming from Kildare Town and from Newbridge on both days as well.
KFM looking forward to broadcasting live there from Sunday, but racing at the Curra tomorrow and on Sunday. More information on their website and social media as well. Best of luck with it. Evan Arkwright, racing and sponsorship manager. Good to talk to you again and see you at the weekend. JD in Clane has texted in. He says, if you're heading out on your motorbike, Owen, on a Sunday morning, the best breakfast stop is Bracken's in Kinnegad. Right, I'll add that down to the list. Also, Dermot has texted in to say the Tokers do a great fry if you're looking for your traditional fry up. And finally, for the moment, a listener says another problem is when travelling from Moon to Crookstown, traffic coming down off the motorway to that junction, they don't stop. They swing out onto the hard shoulder towards Crookstown. Stop means stop, according to this particular listener. Coming up after the break, we look ahead to the GAA action with Tommy Callaghan.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Another busy weekend on the local GAA scene. The Kildare women in action in Leinster against Dublin on Sunday, and at the same time on Sunday, 2 o'clock, the hurlers in round two of the Christy Ring Cup against Wicklow. Leinster Leader sports editor Tommy Callaghan is with me. Morning to you, Tommy. We'll start off with the women footballers, Tommy, and it's a mouth-watering tie to be talking about this morning. Dublin against Kildare in Parnell Park. Great for the women to be playing in the senior championship.
Absolutely. Leinster Championship, huge step up for them. They're unbeaten, as we have said, week in, week out over the last 12-18 months. And this will be their biggest test to date. There's not a doubt in the world about that. They're playing Dublin, who are Leinster champions and are all Ireland senior champions. So it'll give us an idea of exactly where Kildare ladies are when you go up to the top division. It's amazing, really. There's only four teams in this competition, and while it just shows you why ladies has expanded greatly over the last number of years, there's still a lot of work to be done. Just four counties at senior level. Only three last year, so Kildare making it up to the fourth. And as I say, it'll be very interesting to see how they get on, because this is definitely a step up, and who knows how they want to play. They've nothing to lose, really. I mean, they have done everything. They've promoted. They've did everything they could over the last 2 years now, and it'll be very, very interesting in Parnell Park on Sunday.
Yeah, I was reading on social media, Tommy, 10 years since Dublin and Kildare met in the TG Cahir Leinster Senior Football Championship, and Dublin won on that occasion. But as we've said, and I know you've been writing in the paper, Pat Costello writing in the Nationalist as well, it can't be understated how much of an achievement this is for Kildare to be back at senior level and up in Division 1 of the league next year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, we've said it here weeks and weeks on end, the way this team has progressed. And there's still a fair few changes this year, even from last year when they swept the board. They've went through the league this year, undefeated, won the Division 2 title. last week or the week before, 2 weeks ago. And now here they are, finding themselves up with the elite, up at the top table. This is what it's all about. And as I say, I'd imagine the girls are really looking forward to test themselves against one of the best teams, if not the best team in the country. Maybe Dublin might have slipped a small bit from what they were, but their league, they finished, I think it was third in their league in Division 1. And it'll be, as I say, I'd say a lot of the management and the players will be really relishing the prospect of lining out against the Dubs and in Parnell Park. And we'll have a better idea then just where they are. We know where they are, but I mean, how far can they go in this company?
Yeah. At the same time, Tommy, while they will have respect for Dublin and they'd be delighted to be lining out in the senior championship, they're 22 games unbeaten. They won't want that to stop. They'll want to win the game. Do you think they have a chance, or is it going to be too much of a step up?
Look, it's going to be a huge step up. How much of a step up, how far they can go, we won't really know. Dublin, no doubt Dublin will go in as favourites, as I said, Leinster champions, All-Ireland champions, and they'll be fully aware of Kildare's recent record, unbeaten 22 matches, and they will be, I'd say, very much aware of that, and it won't be easy for Kildare, we'll put it that way, but these girls have done remarkably well over the last number of years, and It's nearly impossible to say how they get on, but I mean they're a class act. Now whether they're good enough to take on the likes of the Dublin, we just have to wait and see. Simple as that.
Throws in at 2 o'clock in Parnell Park. Live updates here on KFM with Tara Byrne. At the same time at 2 o'clock in Hawkfield, Tommy, the hurlers who beat Sligo in the Christy Ring Cup last weekend play Wicklow this weekend. Kildare favourites not only to win this game but the Christy Ring title outright. What did you make of the match against Sligo? I know Seamus Dillon said it was a win is a win. Wasn't overly convincing though.
No, by all accounts, it wasn't overly convincing. There were 10 or 11 points in it. And I don't think manager Brian Downing was overly impressed with his squad. They only scored 6 points in the second half, two of them from open play. Now, they were playing against the Gael, if you remember, last weekend. That strong wind was still hanging around. And again, they'll go in Sunday as warm favourites. Wicklow have already lost their opening match to Derry. And Wicklow have kind of been slipping down the ladder a bit in the last 12 months or so. And I'd imagine Brian Dowling will have his players well charged up to not just win, but to put on a performance. That's what he's looking for. I mean, he has to win it, of course. He doesn't want to lose a match at this stage, even if it's only the second round. But they're going in as favourites, as you say, not only to win this match, but to win the competition. And that brings its own added pressure. You know, it brings its own added pressure when you're expected to go the whole way in a competition that there's plenty of games in. But that's the way it is. I mean, Kildare slipped down last year back from the Joe McDonagh back into the Christy Ring, and they want to get out there as quickly as they can, and hopefully they can. And another win on Sunday against Wicklow should see them. Well, advance another way anyway. Advance and get that little bit closer. The team has been announced, and they've been training fairly hard now. And there's a couple of under 20 lads I see now up in the panel this weekend. So it'll be interesting to see will they get a game after the under 20 game on tonight.
Yeah, so, that team, by the way, Paddy McKenna in goals, full back line, Cormac Byrne, Mark Grace, Harry Carroll, half back line, Paul Dolan, Conan Boren, Ryan Boren, centre field, Cahill McCabe and Simon Lacey, Dara Gearan, James Burke and Con Kyo, the half forward line, Mirish Curtin, Moorfield, Jack Sheridan, Nace and Mark Delaney of Coyle Dove are the full forward line, and then some of the younger players as well, as you say, starting but also on the bench, Tommy. You feel as though they'd be too strong for Wicklow. Wicklow dropped out of the Kyo Cup, I think, by the way, because they couldn't field a team.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I said. Wicklow, When you drop out, see, the Cure Cup is a, as you know, it's a warm-up competition, and they obviously weren't getting the numbers in training and everything that goes along after that. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of a squad they turn up with. But, I mean, it certainly can't be overly strong, that's for sure. But having said that, Kildare have to make sure they don't slip up. You can slip up very easy in these games that you're expected to win. And I'd imagine that Brian Dowling will have his lads charged up very well. I see there's a couple of positional changes in particular. I see Simon Lacey has gone to midfield. He's a great all-rounder. We talked about him here before. Of course, Jack Sherry will be relying on Jack to hit the jackpot again in Mangard Park on Sunday, as he has. But there's a lot of good players, up-and-coming players, the board, and, you know, they'll win as hot favourites, and they should win it. But, I mean, they have to go and do the business.